You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, November 14th, and this is episode 20. My name is Andy. I hope you all are doing well. I'm joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing great.
Good, good. So thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show. And if this is your first time, welcome. We appreciate the support, so thank you. Ute Talk is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this twice a week for your enjoyment. So please add us to your favorite RSS feed, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. So let's get right into it. Our Ute news for this week. Saturday, November 19th, home game against the Oregon Ducks will be the senior day. And we've got quite a few seniors this year set to graduate. You're looking at a total of 24 of them. Patrick, what do you got for us on that?
Yeah, senior day, always a special day to send these guys off. Hopefully the Utes will send them off with a nice victory. This is their last home game playing as seniors. A lot of these guys, Whittingham said, have been here. They were here, you know, through the, he said today in his press conference, they were here through the 5 and 7 seasons. A lot of the guys that are seniors now. So they've been through a lot as Utes, and they've come on strong the past couple of seasons for us. So, you know, fans should get there early and, you know, give these guys a round of applause and cheer them on so they can take us to the promised land this year.
Absolutely. And there's a couple big names in there. Let me pull it up here. A couple big guys that are graduating. You've got obviously Isaac Asiata, you know, O-lineman Corey Butler-Bird, J.J. Dillman, who was hurt earlier this year, Pasoni Tassini, Hunter Dimmick, Dominique Hatfield, Evan Moyai, Tim Patrick, Andy Phillips. So a lot of big name guys that we're going to be missing, you know, they definitely gave it their all for the program and appreciate everything that they've done for it.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of great names on there. I mean, Isaac Asiata has basically started since he was a freshman. Mm-hmm. Been just a key along that offensive line over the years. I mean, Andy Phillips, great special teams. They'll definitely miss him and his kicking abilities. Hatfield, you know, good story on him. Just Dillman, a lot of great guys. So come out and support them and cheer them on.
Be there early. That game time was released, so it's at noon. So they've got a lot of work to do on recognizing those seniors. So be there, I would say, probably at least an hour early, you know, before, you know, get out there and support these guys. So next on up for our Ute news is Running Utes. They beat Northwest Nazarene on Saturday, 81-37. And we've got two games this week, Concordia in Oregon, and also Coppin State. And so come on out, support the Running Utes in their 2016 season here.
Yeah, basketball season started.
It is here.
That's exciting, and Utes had a good victory, it looks like, against Nazarene.
Yeah.
So Kyle Kuzma played great.
He did.
Expect that to see that a lot from him this season as the leader of the team, and excited to see him go up against some bigger name schools and some kind of name players.
Yeah, absolutely. And our last news here, excuse me, is the rankings. The AP poll, coaches poll, obviously the college football playoff will be announced Tuesday night. But Utah moved up a couple spots. We're now number 11 in both the AP and coaches poll. You've got Washington dropped after that loss against USC. They dropped to number 7. Colorado is number 12. USC bumped up to number 15 in the AP and 19 in the coaches. And then you got Washington State at number 20 in both polls there. So five teams currently ranked for the Pac-12. It's great exposure for the conference. There are some surprising ones for me personally. I thought Clemson and Michigan losing to unranked opponents should have been dropped a little further. Michigan only dropping, Michigan and Clemson each dropping two spots in the AP and 1 and 3 in the coaches' poll. So I don't know. I don't agree with it. A loss this late in the year to an unranked opponent, it just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I mean, losing to unranked opponents, you think they'd drop a little bit further than they did. But I like the Utes at number 11. I like Colorado at 12. Hopefully they both can get victories this next weekend to set up a nice showdown in Boulder.
Yeah.
When you think of the Utes, though, that loss to Cal, just stings a little bit more with all these teams who are in front of them losing this past weekend. That just makes that loss to Cal sting a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with that loss to Cal, you know, had that been a game Utah wins, we'd be sitting at 9-1, leading the South for sure. And, I would probably say top 6.
Yeah. I would say, top 8, top 6.
So, what ifs, you can't dwell on the past too much. It was an unfortunate game, but Utah still is in a great position. Like Patrick said, the rumble in the Rockies on the 26th of November in Boulder, Colorado, that should be a really good game. Two potential top 10 opponents going at it in what essentially would be the Pac-12 semifinals.
Yeah, and there's still a slight chance if the Utes can win the Pac-12 title, they could, there's still a slight chance they could get into that playoff.
Sneak in there, but, yeah.
Don't know if that'll happen, but there's still, that faint possibility.
Yep, absolutely. Well, moving on through our news, we're going to quickly recap our Northwest Nazarene Running Ute matchup and then preview the next two, which is Tuesday against Concordia in Oregon, and then Coppin State. So Northwest Nazarene, the Crusaders came in. I believe they played a exhibition game up in Idaho, I believe, the night before. So Friday night, they drove about 5 hours down here to Salt Lake. And Utah got off to a slow start. A lot of costly turnovers, dumb passes. Kuzma had a couple carry calls, which need to be cleaned up. Just some really silly mistakes that I saw. But Utah ended up winning 81-37. That second half, they really, really put the hurt on them. Second half, they scored 45 to Nazarene's 17. So that second half really turned it on. There's a a period where it was 19-17. Utah was up by 2, and Utah went on a 15-2 run in about 3-4 minutes. So we've got the talent, we've got the ability to turn it on against teams that we should. And I think we're in store for a pretty good season. The guys were kind of getting their jitters out, but overall a fairly good game.
Yeah, and I didn't watch the game. I haven't quite yet got into basketball mode yet. I'm still fully invested into football. But with you being at the game, who are some of the players who kind of stood out for you that maybe fans might not know about?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Kuzma. I mean, he had a 23.19 rebound game. Newcomer Jace Johnson, he was a redshirt freshman for the team last year, didn't play at all, obviously, because he's a redshirt, but he punched in 8 points, 14 rebounds, and a block. He's going to be a really big defensive piece, not so much offensively, but defensively he really should be kind of that anchor He'll really clean up those rebounds and pound the glass for you. For missed balls. Bonham, he didn't really assert himself this game, which was kind of unfortunate. But another newcomer, Tyler Rawson. He played a year down at SUU, another year at Slick, and now he's here for the UT. Put in 17 minutes, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 assist. So he really asserted himself all over the floor. He was getting some really good looks. He was getting those rebounds and really active on the defensive end with the 2 blocks. One guy that I was really excited about that really didn't impress me was JoJo Zamora. I don't know what had really happened with him, but he's a junior transfer from Oakland, California. He didn't really do much for me. He looked timid. He looked just kind of out of place. 4 points, 2 assists, 5 personal fouls, 2 turnovers. He just didn't really do it for me. I think he will turn it on and get things figured out. He's got the ability to. Like I said, I think a lot of these guys were getting their jitters out, but Rawson I like, Zamora I like, and then obviously Jace Johnson as that defensive anchor I really like.
Now, is Zamora, is he from where DeLon went, the San Francisco, or is he from somewhere else?
Let's see here. I believe so. I'm having a brain fart here. Let me see. Yuba. He's from Yuba College. Okay. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay. Then Bonham. I mean, Bonham last season, to me, he's kind of a hot and cold player. Some games he's really good, and some other games he's really bad. So
yeah,
kind of sounds like he started off a little bit bad. So hopefully he'll be able to pick that up. But yeah, I'm excited for this season. I'm excited to see what they can do in the Pac-12, and hopefully they can do some good things and make the tournament and make a little run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got a pretty favorable schedule. First 9 games, one of them is on the road. So, again, pretty favorable schedule. We've got a big name, Butler, coming in on the 28th of November, and then we're on the road at Xavier on December 10th. But other than that, we've got some really easy, kind of cakewalk teams that we should be able to flat out dominate and get those jitters out. So I think we'll see the Utes turn it on this week, Coppin State and Concordia this week. So as far as previewing for Concordia and Coppin State, so Concordia, we play at home at the Huntsman Center tomorrow night, Tuesday. It's listed as a 6 p.m. They actually announced in the arena that it is a 5:45 tip-off. So November 15th, Tuesday, 5:45, Concordia. A couple Concordia colleges out there. This one is located in Oregon. They have yet to play a game yet. So their first game will be against the Utes. Not a whole lot to go off of on them. excuse me, they got, was unable to find any sort of, depth chart for them, but a lot of, kind of local Oregon, they've got a couple, California kids, in there, and then Idaho as well. So, should be an easy game for the Utes, should be a game where we can, really dial in on some of our plays and defensive schemes and really kind of get, some players some extra playing time, really get them a feel for Division I college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, if the Utes are able to handle these teams quite effectively and, put them away, that score against Nazarene, 81-37, and get some of these other guys and time to play, some of the young guys, or just have time for everyone to kind of gel together. That's only going to help them once, you know, they start facing a little bit tougher teams and Pac-12 play comes around. So
exactly. So and even when they get into the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying that they're going to be there. I feel pretty confident that we'll be able to be some sort of seed in the tournament, but you know, getting the playing experience now is worth it. So
yeah, so it's good to have these kind of, I mean, you want to call them cakewalk teams, but they could, some of them could surprise you. You never know. But as long as the Utes can handle their business and take care of these teams and just kind of come together and start gelling and getting everyone some good playing time, some good experience, it's, you know, the season's going to be a good one, I think.
Absolutely. So again, Concordia, Tuesday night, 5:45 tip off. Running Utes also play against Coppin State, the Eagles. That game is going to be Friday night, the 18th, and that one is at 6 p.m. So come on down to the Huntsman Center for that one. Coppin State has played a game. They are 0-1 in the MEAC, the MEAC Conference. They lost against Hofstra 74-72. So obviously a tight game there. You know, let's their their box score here for that game. You know, Treadwell put up Joshua Treadwell, excuse me. 25 points, 8 rebounds. He's a guard. You know, he really can get to the hole. He's a 6'5 big guy. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who we put up on defending him. The starting lineup this last week was Bonham, Devin Daniels, Parker Van Dyke, Kuzma, and then Jace Johnson. So we've got a lot of athleticism on our team this year that should give us a chance in any game. So, and actually, it looks like Coppin State has a game going on right now.
Oh, wow.
They are losing by 11 to Valparaiso, currently at the MGM Grand. So, so yeah, I mean, again, Joshua Treadwell seems to be the player to look out for there. I don't think we'll have too much trouble with these guys. You know, they put up quite a few three-pointers. Treadwell put up 9 himself. He went 5 of 9 from deep, so they went 12 of 27 as a team. Free throws, not very well, 10 of 18. So Utah should really be able to you know, chase them off that three-point line. We've got, like I said, some speed that we can keep them under control.
Yeah, these smaller schools always seem to have, you know, one or two guys who are pretty good players who,
sure,
you know, can shoot, and you know, a lot of them are good at threes, mm-hmm, as well. So these smaller schools usually have one or two guys who are pretty good. So as long as you can shut those, you know, one or two guys down, you shouldn't have any problem with them. And I don't know who the defensive stalwarts are on the Utes this season, but I know they probably have a few just waiting to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't have, you know, like last year we had Brandon Taylor. You know, he was kind of your three-point specialist. You know, whether he's hot or cold, he was still bombing those threes, but he was also, you know, one of our best defenders. You know, always seemed to pester the other players. I think from a guard standpoint, Devin Daniels might be your most athletic. Bearfield, who is currently unable to play due to transfer rules, he can't play until mid-December. I think he'll be inserted into the starting lineup next to Bonham, and I think he'll be able to really apply himself quite nicely. And then obviously Kuzma kind of being that forward position defender. You know, he's really athletic. He can obviously put up a lot of points. You know, so I think we've got a few guys. I think they need to assert themselves a little bit better. We've got the talent. The talent's there for sure.
And the guy who transferred from Utah State, I know his name. Collette. Collette.
Okay. David Collette.
Is he available to play now? Or
nope, he's another December. So Cedric Berrifield and David Collette will not be able to play until December.
December, okay.
Mid-December. So, but yeah, we'll move right along here then. Excuse me. We are going to do our Ute Q segment right now. And for those of you that do not know what our Ute Qs is, this is an opportunity for you guys to participate in the show. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email us utetalk@gmail.com and use the hashtag Ute Qs. We will tweet out questions for you guys that we want your answers on. If you have any questions that you want us to answer, whether it's on the show or through a message on Twitter, let us know. Hashtag UteQs, UteQs.
Now time for UteQs, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at UteTalkPodcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
So let's get right into it. Our first question, excuse me. Our first question is, does this Oregon game scare you at all? A down team with nothing to lose, seeking revenge on last season. What are your thoughts? Couple responses here. S_Glaus18, no more than other conference games. Ducks don't play defense, have nothing to play for. JD Haas, they all scare me. This one I feel confident about, though. I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Williams breaks his own record. And then at TEverett921, not coached well. No, I feel like they have given up. What are your thoughts to our listeners there, Patrick?
I agree with the one he said. All the games scare me.
Mm-hmm.
This Oregon game is definitely a game that the Utes could overlook. Oregon's having a down season this year. They still have a lot of talented individuals on their team. Just haven't been able to quite put it together. And in the Pac-12, on any given week, a team could put together a great game and beat anybody. It's been proven. I mean, look at Cal. They put together a good game plan and they beat the Utes when they weren't supposed to. So
that's true.
This game kind of scares me a little bit just because I know the Utes sometimes tend to play down to their competition. And they've, with their struggles in the tackling game. I mean, Oregon has some good athletes on offense. Their running backs are really good. And their quarterback that they inserted is starting to come on pretty strong right now. But yeah, I know defensively the Oregon is really struggling. So hopefully the Utes will be able to put a good offensive game plan together to exploit that and take care of that. But this Oregon team's a team that's going to come in. They got nothing to lose. They definitely are going to want revenge for last season because mm-hmm. the Utes put a whooping on them up there in, Autzen Stadium. So it is a game that scares me just for those factors. They're going to be big underdogs, nothing to lose, want to spoil the Utes season,
yep.
get revenge on the Utes. So definitely a game that the Utes need to take serious, and they need to come out guns a-blazing and take care of these guys early.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it on the head that it is a little reminiscent of Cal. High-powered offense, not a very good defense. And, as you saw in the Cal game, Cal put up about half the points that they normally put up, but they held Utah to, basically a season low. Oregon averages 37 points a game. So, again, high-powered offense, and they allow 43 points a game. So they allow a lot of points defensively. So, it could be a trap game. obviously every game in the Pac-12 is a tough one. It's funny how the national pundits always say, oh, Oregon or Stanford, they're having a down year, so it's a down year for the Pac-12, when really the other teams are just doing their job and winning the games. So I agree that, you know, they all are a little scary. Although they do seem to have given up. Their freshman, Justin Herbert, is playing really, really well right now. And he's definitely turned that offense around. Now if they can just get their defense figured out, then I think they'll be back in business. So maybe not this year, but next year I think we'll see Oregon as a little bit tougher of an opponent. So thank you for your responses on that one, everybody. And our next Ute Talk or Ute Q's question, prediction for the Oregon game, final score, and MVP. At JD Haas, 48-33 Utah, Joe Williams, MVP. At Utah Tyler, 42-17, MVP, also Joe Williams. What are your thoughts on those takes?
I'm going to go with the Utes 35, Oregon 28.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be a close game. I'm going to give my MVP to Joe Williams. I think he's going to be able to do some damage on the ground this week and just keep on doing what he's been doing since he came back from retirement, which is just tearing it up. And he's definitely going to go over 1,000 yards in this game. But he's going to be my MVP this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to go quite as close. I'm thinking more along the lines of a 38-24, you know, a little bit more of a spread. I know the spread is currently 10.5 in Utah's favor, but I think we score a little bit more points. We hold them a little bit better defensively for this game. So, Patrick 35-28, Andy 38-24. I would also go with Joe Williams as my MVP. So thank you for your participation on that one, guys. Again, that's our UQ segment. Go ahead and ask your questions if you have them. We'll do our best to answer them or figure out the answers for you. So moving right along here, let's get into our breakdown of Utah versus Arizona State Sun Devils. Get that monkey off our back of beating them down in Tempe. Todd Graham and his wristband. Troy Williams looking really good. 21 of 37, obviously wish those completions were a little bit better, but 296 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Now we did have the fumbles that were costly to begin the game, but he's smart on his decision making every week, more and more. Getting better and better each week. So hats off to him. But Patrick, go ahead and give us a breakdown. What were your thoughts? Utah got off to a sluggish start, 13-0 in the first quarter, ended up coming and taking the lead going into halftime, 21-20. So what are your thoughts on the first half and what the Utes went up against in Arizona State?
Yeah, the first quarter, the first half was a little bit of a struggle for the Utes, especially the first quarter. I mean, that first drive where they had the fumble, luckily Marcus Williams was able to get an interception to save, you know, Arizona State from scoring. Then the Utes came back and fumbled again, so Arizona State was able to get up on them 13-0. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I mean, the Utes kind of settled down, and the first half wasn't pretty. It wasn't the best game. I mean, Joe Williams, I think, only had like 26 yards rushing mm-hmm. the first half. Passing game was on point, though. The Utes were, you know, Raylon Singleton really stepped up. He's someone who, since he came to the Utes, I've had my eye on to, you know, really be a breakout star, and he's breaking out this season finally with him being healthy. He had an awesome game. Troy Williams had an awesome game once he kind of settled down and got composed. And then Joe Williams had another awesome game, really tearing it up in that second half. But it was kind of a tell of two halves. The first halves, the Utes, you know, really didn't play that great, but they came out the second half offensively and defensively and
yeah.
really took it to Arizona State. One of the things that concerns me still is, you know, the tackling. Ute struggled tackling in that game. A lot of plays that went for long yards or touchdowns mm-hmm. shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
That could have been prevented by tackling. It just seems like with their tackling, you know, the first guy who makes the hit just can't seem to bring, you know, the runner down. It takes like three or four or five or six guys to finally bring them down. Or if mm-hmm. all six of those guys miss, then they go for, you know, a long touchdown. And I mean, Arizona State had some broken plays there that, you know, one of them went for a touchdown. And a couple more of them went for long yardage, but you know, the Utes took care of business. They had a very balanced attack, in their offense. I think they had like 497 total yards, 296 through the air, and then 201 on the ground. And Arizona State's rush defense was holding teams to 116 yards, I think, on the season. So the Utes were able to take care of that with Joe Williams coming out and having a great second half. But, you know, overall, you know, first half was sloppy, but overall a fairly decent game for the Utes and, you know, taking out a, you know, Arizona State has some talent. You could also compare them to Cal or Oregon. They have a pretty high scoring offense, but also a defense that gives up quite a few points. So hopefully the Utes, you know, can, you know, do what they did to Arizona State, to Oregon, but do it, you know, 10 times better with a full four quarters.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's an interesting stat, and I wasn't able to watch too much of the game, just some things going on, but Utah generally controls the time of possession very well this year. Usually we're, you know, it's 50% plus in our favor, but this game, 23 minutes, 54 seconds. Arizona State had it for 36 minutes, 6 seconds. You know, but Utah obviously had more points. So we were scoring more points in smaller amount of time, which is generally, you know, a team like Oregon, Cal, they do something similar. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the time of possession? Does that kind of worry you a little bit, or does that give you the hope that, you know, Utah can be in a shootout, but also in a slugfest?
Yeah, I think it gives me the hope that they can do either of those. I mean, we've seen, you know, in the USC game, we saw the Utes march, you know, 90 plus yards up the field to score the winning touchdown. And we've seen it in games where they can march up the field, or, you know, you can give it to Joe Williams and he can break off a 80 yarder.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it gives me hope that they're able to do both this season. You always expect the Utes to be in a slug fest where, you know, they do control that time of possession because that's just what they do, a grinded out team. But they are showing this season that they can move the ball effectively through the air. I mean, Raylon Singleton, Corey Butler-Byrd, you know, Tim Patrick's when he's healthy, COC Wilson's coming on strong. They have, you know, the tight ends, Evan Moyai and Harrison Hanley. They have guys now that they can throw the ball to, and that can move up and that, and that helps them move up and down the field. They don't just have to rely on, you know, Joe Williams in the run game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 7 different receivers with receptions. Raylon with 4, Butler Byrd with 7, Patrick 3, Wilson 3, Hanley 2, Williams and Moyai with 1. So a lot of different people getting involved. Raylon obviously had 3 touchdowns. COC Wilson had the great grab, you know, keeping his foot / knee / shin inbounds for that touchdown. So, you know, that's what I like to see, is multiple people seeing the ball spread around quite nicely. Everybody getting, you know, a good amount of activity and yardage in the game. So very encouraging for me. Rushing wise, Joe Williams, 15 carries, 181 yards, 12 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns. He had that 182 yard break off for a touchdown, which was phenomenal. And one thing I've seen kind of a video going around on Twitter today of the fight and the determination in Williams in this Arizona game, Arizona State game, where it looks like he's going to have a loss, and he bounces off a couple people, runs to one side, and then cuts back into the middle and gets about a 4 or 5 yard gain, which his awareness and his drive and his fight for yards after that first contact is just night and day from the first two games this year. And, you know, the break, as we all can see, and we talk about it every week, the retirement, 28-day retirement, obviously did him a ton of good. And it's just super, super exciting to see. I mean, you know, on the season so far, you know, he's pushing 939 yards. And that's only in, what is that, 6, 7 games?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, it's just phenomenal. He'll, you know, barring anything drastic, he'll definitely hit that 1,000-yard mark that you had said at the beginning of the year. And, you know, he's really starting to make it a name for himself within the program and within college football.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, you know, he did 181 yards on only 15 carries. He's passed, you know, since he came back, he's been getting 30-plus carries a game. So it just shows that, you know, the Utes relied pretty heavily on their passing game against Arizona State, which isn't a surprise because Arizona State has such a poor pass defense. But I just thought that was interesting that, you know, he only had 15 carries, but he's still able to rack up so many yards. And the Utes were still so balanced in their offensive attack that, you know, they were able to take care of business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Utah was very balanced. 296 passing, 201 rushing, 497 total. So some great stats there. You know, Utah needs to get the first quarter jitters or jet lag or whatever you want to call it out of their system quicker. Can't dig themselves a hole, especially as we go into Oregon, Colorado, and potential Pac-12 game and bowl game.
Yeah, they definitely need to quit putting themselves in a deficit to start the game and having to come play, you know, come from behind.
Yeah.
But because, you know, one of these times it's really going to bite them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Well, kind of what happened with Washington.
Yeah, true. Very true. So. But they were able to pull it out. And, I mean, defensively, the defense, you know, even though they struggled with their tackling, I mean, they really came on strong in that second half. And that defensive line just, I don't know what they did at halftime. They ate something or got a pep talk, but they came out and they just manhandled Arizona State's offensive line that second half. I mean, Hunter Dimmick had a great game. He had, I believe, 5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Peta T had 3 sacks, I believe. And then, I mean, they just started wreaking havoc on the Arizona State offense in that second half.
Yeah. Dimmick, he got the Walter Camp award this week. So best defensive lineman in the nation or defensive player. Lineman or player? What is it? I can't remember.
I think it's lineman.
Lineman, yeah. So, yeah, he had 5 sacks, 6.5 tackles for a loss. I know that he is 6.5 tackles away from tying school record, so 7 tackles for a loss away from owning the school record. And then sacks, I believe he is he the sack leader now, or is he a couple away on that one?
I'm not sure. That'd be interesting to look up.
I know he has.
I think he got
27 in his career, but I can't remember what he's got or how close he is to the record overall. But either way, he played phenomenal. It was nice to see Sac Lake City. We had a total of 11 in the game. And, you know, Dimmick came out and attributed that to the success of the corners. You know, the defensive secondary, you know, locking down their assignments and, you know, giving that defensive line, you know, half a second longer to get to the quarterback. If they can do that, you know, if the defensive secondary can continue to do that, you know, we'll see a lot more of Sac Lake City.
So Dimmick, in that ASU game, he set the Utah record for sacks with 5 and his 27 career sacks. He's actually tied for the school record.
So tied the school record. Okay.
He should be able to definitely get that record this season.
Absolutely. I had another comment on the secondary now. I totally spaced it. They played a great game, though. I mean, obviously, when you can give your defensive line, you know, that time, it's awesome. So hopefully we'll be able to see that here in the coming weeks. Do you have anything else for Arizona State, Utah, 49-26, Utah's favor?
No, it's good to, you know, beat the Sun Devils down in Tempe and send their fans home with a loss. And, you know, the Utes are playing great this season. It's been a really fun season, a great season. And, you know, these next 2 weeks are going to be super stressful with how much is on the line for the Utes. So,
yep.
You know, it's an exciting time to be a Ute right now.
Absolutely. Ah, I remember my thought here. Scally, he always would say and point to each player, do your job. Do your job, do your job, do your job. And that's kind of the sentiment that goes out along that defensive line and the whole defensive unit is everybody do your job and we're going to have success. So we'll look for that to keep on happening. So quick rundown before we break down into our Oregon versus Utah matchup. The Pac-12 standings. Currently you're looking at Washington State is leading the North right now. 7-0 in conference, 8-2 overall. You've got Washington right behind them at 6-1 in conference, 9-1 overall. Stanford is starting to turn it on. They don't have really any chance at the Pac-12 game, but they're 5-3 in the conference, 7-3 overall. So they're, you know, kind of turned around there. Cal, 2-5 in conference, 4-6 overall. Oregon, 1-6 in conference, 3-7 overall. Oregon State, 1-6, 2-8 overall. Quick breakdown on the North. It'll be interesting. The Apple Cup, or I guess this weekend, you've got Washington State versus Colorado.
Yeah.
And then the Apple Cup, Washington State versus Washington on, what is that, the 26th?
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how those two end up this coming weekend and next week. And, you know, it'll be one of those Washington schools representing the North. If we look down here on the South division, you're looking at Colorado at 6-1, 8-2 overall. USC 6-2 in the conference, 7-3 overall. So they actually have a half game lead over the Utes, which is
crazy,
ridiculous to me. Utah sitting at 5-2, 8-2 overall. Arizona State 2-5, 5-5 overall. UCLA 2-5, 4-6 overall. And then Arizona 0-7, 2-8 overall. So kind of looking at that South, USC plays UCLA this weekend. I believe it's in UCLA.
They'll win.
Which I would love to see UCLA win. That would be amazing. I can't stand USC. I don't want them anywhere near the Pac-12 game.
Yeah. They're playing so good right now.
They are.
I don't see them really losing again.
They won 5 in a row since Utah beat them. Yeah. Darnold's taken over, and he's really taken over that team. He's playing really well. Not a whole lot of drama going on right now at USC. So, but Colorado, like we mentioned, plays Washington State, and then at home against Utah. And so a lot of interesting games and matchups coming up these last 2 weeks. A lot of people fighting for playoff spots and or potential playoff spots and bowl games and Pac-12 games. So could be a very exciting weekend.
And they announced that the Utah-Colorado game is at 5:30 on the 26th on Fox. So,
oh yeah,
that could be, like we were talking about before, that could be a potential, you know, two top 10 teams.
Yeah,
matching up for the, you know, South title. That'll definitely kickstart the rivalry and make it.
Yeah,
it make definitely it, make will. It something else than it has been in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah, Fox. Yeah, regular Fox, not Fox 1, not Fox 2, Fox. So Utah getting some national love there. So that very exciting. So let's break down Oregon Ducks, 3-7 overall, 1-6 in conference. Brady Hoke is their new defensive coordinator, has not turned that defense around at all. Looking at the team stats here, you're looking at Utah. Oregon puts up 37 a game to Utah's 31, so they're scoring a little bit more, due to that high power offense. They are allowing 43 points a game to Utah's 23, so their defense is an absolute sieve right now. Yardage per game, they're putting up 494 to Utah's 433. Yards allowed, they're giving up 535 to Utah's 368. Rushing and passing, they're giving up 292 passing, 243 rushing. Utah's giving up 248 passing, 119 rushing. And Oregon, you know, due to their playmakers, they do have quite a few players. Once they get out to the edge, that outside, they can really do some damage on you. And so it'll be interesting to see if Utah can keep them to that 100, you know, give or take 20, 30 yards in either direction, yards allowed on the ground. If we can limit them a little bit and force them to throw and give, our defensive line some time to get to the quarterback, it should be interesting. The current spread, 10.5, in Utah's favor, and that game is this Saturday, November 19th at noon, Senior Day. It's on Pac-12 networks. What do you got for us, Patrick?
Yeah, and, you know, just going back to what you're talking about with the rushing, that's all going to start with tackling, because Oregon has two very good running backs. I mean, Royce Freeman is, I think he's a great running back. And then they also have Tony Brooks-Turner. Both of those guys have, you know, Royce Freeman on the year has 710 rushing yards, 9 touchdowns. Turner has 623 yards and 8 touchdowns. Both very good backs. And if the Utes don't clean up their tackling, both these guys could, you know, break free for a lot of yards or break free for, you know, some touchdowns. So definitely something the Utes need to work on. And then, you know, Justin Herbert, who's the starting quarterback, he's starting to come on a little bit for Oregon as well, and they do have some talented receivers out there that he can get the ball to. So I think this is going to be, you know, another one of those games where, you know, it could be close, but a lot of it, that's going to depend upon, you know, how the defense comes out and plays. And then also, you know, how the offense, I think if the Utes can have a balanced offense and, you know, get, you know, close to 300 yards passing and close to, you know, 200 plus yards rushing, they'll definitely win this game.
Yeah. And Herbert, you know, he took over a couple games into the season for Dakota Prokop, the transfer, did not have very much success at Oregon, unfortunately. But Herbert comes in, he's 116 for 184, 1,432 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So he's already thrown more touchdowns and less interceptions than Troy Williams in about 3 less games, maybe even 4. So Herbert is really coming on strong. I think he'll be a force to reckon with going forward. He's a tall, I believe he's 6'6", can run the ball if needed, but prefers to try and stay in the pocket. But, I think he'll be a force to reckon with years down the line. But I don't think that you should have much problem with him. You did mention Royce Freeman. He's a great in-between the tackles guy, but also even faster when he breaks it out to the edge. And that's kind of what Utah has been, in my opinion, struggling with. Not so much clogging up that middle, but once, you know, offensive players seemingly get to the edge, it's a big play, you know. And so Utah needs to limit those. They need to hold contain on the quarterback and really keep those guys to the middle of the field.
Yeah, and I apologize. That other running back is Tony Brooks James. I don't know why I said Turner, but can't read my own writing. But yeah, Royce Freeman is as good as they come as a running back. And with the Utes tackling woes, I mean, he's definitely someone who could have a big game against these guys. But I expect the Utes to come out. They have so much on the line. Whittingham's going to have these guys fired up again for this game. I mean, they got to come out and just take care of this team like they did last season.
Yeah.
Just put a whooping on them again, send them home, and then just get ready for the Colorado State showdown. And I mean, Colorado State, sorry.
Fuel the rivalry there.
Colorado showdown. And then in the state of Colorado. And then, you know, just take that Pac-12 South title.
Yeah.
This is the Ute season. They have to do it this season. It's all the, you know, it's in line for them to do it this season. They got to get this done, and this has got to be the year.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely the year. You know, if you look at years past, you know, there's always been a, you know, oh, we lose to USC, but we beat UCLA, or, you know, and one of the team that we don't beat usually ends up being the one that beats us for the Pac-12 South. This year we beat both UCLA and USC. Everything is in our favor. We've got, you know, a good matchup against Oregon, on the road against Colorado. We're healthy right now. That bye week came at a perfect time to end the year and go into a potential Pac-12 game in our bowl game. So a lot of things going right for Utah right now. It's a great day to be a Ute for sure.
Yeah, the stars have aligned, and this is the year. I got a good feeling this is the year. I don't want another heartbreak like last season or the, you know, their first season when all they had to do was beat Colorado and
yep.
They were, you know, going to the title game their first season in the Pac-12 and they put up a stinker. This has got to be the year. They have all the players. They have all the talent. They just got to take care of business this week, take care of business next week, and then I don't see why, you know, they couldn't go in and beat Washington if they rematch Washington, because they definitely proved that they could hang with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they play, you know, Washington State, that's a team they could definitely beat as well. So this is an exciting time to be a Ute, and it's just this is their year. I got a good feeling.
Good deal. Do you have anything else for our listeners, Patrick?
No, just come out, support your seniors, and cheer loud so that they can send the Ducks home again.
Absolutely. So just quick recap. Tuesday night, November 15th, 5:45 p.m., Concordia versus our running Utes. Friday, November 18th, Coppin State at 6 p.m. versus running Utes. And then the big one, November 19th, Saturday, noon, Pac-12 Networks here at Rice Eccles against Oregon Ducks. So very exciting stuff. Can't wait. Great day to be a Ute. Some days are better than others. I believe the mantra that the Utah Athletics seems to live by, or at least the recruiting aspect of it. But thank you everybody for listening. From our audio engineer, Marty, Patrick, and myself, Andy, we will see you next time. And as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.